Hello, brothers. We're here Saturday afternoon after the Recycle event. Since I wasn't at the council meeting, this is our monthly council review podcast, if you will. But like I said, we're doing it here on Saturday. And I'm here with trustee and member chair Frank Smaldino. Hello, Frank. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Good morning.
I missed the meeting. Was it rowdy? Was it out of control? Or was it pretty well?
Totally
out of control.
Quite a bit of fun.
Wow. Oh, man, I missed it. Yeah, I was on a business trip. And I'm also here with Paul Helterlein, who you're an icon of the council, aren't you, Paul?
I'm a past Grand Knight. I'm a current trustee. My only duty now is the chairman for the Christmas Family Program.
Great. Well, tell me, Paul, a lot of knights are new. We haven't met in a while. Give me a little bit of background, how long you've been here with San Antonio, and how'd you get involved with the knights?
I moved originally from California. From Minnesota in 1989. Mm-hmm. Got married in 1995. It was my wife that kind of brought me back to the church. Uh-huh. We're at San Antonio for a little bit, then we left the state for a number of years, but we moved back in 2012. That's when we started coming to San Antonio regular, and then I joined the Knights in 2013. So I've been a knight for 7 years, gone through everything.
Been there and done everything, right?
Pretty much.
Well, great. Frank, why don't you give us a quick overview of what happened in the meeting on Wednesday for the knights that obviously, like me, that couldn't attend?
Sure. Just to be clear, of course, all members are invited to attend the council meeting as well as the officers' meeting. I think this was kind of a unique one because Father John was able to attend the meeting. And then we had a dignitary from Orange County Chapter by the name of Jack Haney, who's kind of focused on membership as well as the exemplifications that we put on throughout the county. Mark Wisely started the meeting off with Father John.
Okay.
He was further down on the agenda, and Father John kind of gave us an update on what's going on with the parish. Then he got into a couple of questions that he asked us and gave him some feedback. And then at one point, Father John was asked if he could say something else, and Mark looked at him and said, "Well, Father, it is your church."
So that sounded like that could be the line of the night.
That is the line, yeah. At first, everybody was kind of stunned that
sure.
Mark would say that. I busted up laughing because I thought it was pretty darn funny. And then everybody chimed in and thought it was funny. And then even Father John thought it was funny.
Oh, you got the joke. Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that could be a little dangerous when you make a joke.
You don't know. We had about 35 to 40 members attend.
Yep.
And
mm-hmm.
It was a good time. The note or the agenda has covered 3 pages. So there's a lot of things going on.
A lot of stuff going
in
on.
In our council, even though we're down into this COVID-19 situation still, but we're still very active, and it's good to see, and we're trying to get more and more knights to come out and join us on the projects that we had.
Sure.
One of the things we talked about was the Recycle Saturday, which happens to be today, and it was raining and miserable, but we had 16 knights out there collecting the cans and sorting them. It was a great turnout. We had a lot of fun. I think Dennis McCoy, God bless him, brought another dozen of donuts, and the guys got to him before I did, so I'm a little upset about
that. Got to keep that energy up, right, Frank? They're low-calorie donuts, of course. They're all low-calorie.
Two donuts is allowed in my diet, and so I try to do that. And today, I'm going to have to go without.
It's 4 for tomorrow.
Yeah.
There you go.
The next major issue was the beatification of Father Michael J. McGivney, taking the next step to becoming a saint. So Father McGivney's our founder, and that's a big deal to us, and it's a big deal to our church. Father John being the state chaplain for the Knights of Columbus, and Jack Haney attended that ceremony and told us how it went and what it consisted of. As soon as I can find it, I think there's a podcast for it or a website you can go to see that, mm-hmm. where the Mass was performed in Connecticut, and it's available for us to view. I'll get that information for you and pass it along.
Yeah, I can maybe put it in the newsletter.
Yeah, and then as a follow-on to that, we're having, again, on November 21st, a exemplification here at San Antonio Church. We're looking for new knights as well as knights that want to go from their first, second, and third degree, and those that want to go on to their fourth degree. That'll all happen in one day on November 21st.
Well, Paul, tell me about your role with the Christmas event. This is an annual event, right?
This is an annual event. It started many years ago. I was a knight about 5 months and got a call from Gary Richens, who was then Grand Knight, asking me if I would take over this program, and I didn't know how to say no yet, so I said yes.
You got volunteered.
I got volunteered to do it. Turns out it was the best thing I've ever done with the Knights.
I've done it
every year since.
Okay.
I love it. What it is, it's basically we solicit funds from the Knights. None of the money is budgeted in the yearly budget, and we ask for donations. And then with that money, we will adopt families. Typically, we'll get them from family assistance, and then we'll assist the Marine families at Pendleton as well. And we basically will get a family, and we'll set up a team, usually about two nights, and their families. They'll contact the family, see what they need, see what their needs are for Christmas, right. And then we'll take care of that. Wow. Whether it's gift for the kids, Christmas decorations, food, help with the bills, whatever it is.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we'll set aside a budget for each family, and then the Knights will take care of that. They'll wrap the gifts, and then they'll deliver them for Christmas.
Great. Now, how many families do you typically help out in this way?
Typically, it kind of depends on the size. We've had families that'll have 9 members, so that takes a bigger budget. But usually we're in the range of 5 to 7 local families, and then usually 2 to 3 families at Pendleton.
Wow, that's great.
So it's pretty amazing how much this council really gets behind this program and donates and helps out. It's really amazing, meeting these families. Every family's different. Their situations are all different. You get to know them. You get your own family involved.
Right.
I mean, my wife loves this. She's the shopper. We'll go to Kohl's and find the deals, and she's getting the clothes for all the kids, and she's really involved. And yeah, it's a family thing, and it's a brother thing with your brother Knight.
Sounds wonderful.
And it's amazing the reaction from the families.
That's got to be something you remember forever, right?
Yes. Yeah. Each family I remember vividly. When we bring the gifts over, usually they're a little apprehensive when you meet them for the first time.
Sure,
and,
I bet.
Kind of try to explain what you're doing. But then when you bring everything, usually a couple of days before Christmas, the faces, the reactions is...
If you're not already in the spirit of Christmas, that's got to put you in hyperdrive, right?
Yeah, this is the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
The very first family we helped, there was a little girl. Her name was Isabella. This was 7 years ago. I still remember it like yesterday. Her big thing was she loved stuffed dogs. One of my team helpers was Harold Pisek. He's a Knight. And we were out shopping, and we found this big, floppy-eared stuffed dog. And we were like, oh, that's perfect. And it was on sale, so it was perfect. So I had this big plan. We were going to put it in a bag and then try to get her to open it while we were there. We go there, and then as we're delivering all this, she is super shy. She won't see us anything. Yeah. And it was like, oh. We prayed with the family. We gave them the gifts and everything, took some pictures. And then we left. Well, I left behind the consent form for the pictures. We have each family sign it, so they agree. We can put their picture in the newsletter or something. So I had to go back to the door. I knock on the door, and the father had opened the door. There was little Isabella on the couch with that stuffed dog.
Dog
was half out of the bag and smile from ear to ear. It was just the most precious thing. It's ingrained in my memory.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think this year, right, more than ever, those kinds of actions, those things that help families like this, it's going to be more than it was then with COVID-19 and everything, I imagine.
Yeah, it's amazing each year the need that's out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think this year, more than any other year, there's even that much more of a need.
Brothers are listening to the podcast. They want to get involved with the program. How do they contact you? Or what's the next step if they say, wow, I want to get involved in that?
So a letter went out to all the members.
Okay.
It's basically a letter explaining the program, asking for donations. There's a return envelope with my address. We ask for money or checks. Checks can be made out to the Knights of Columbus Council 9195. Send in the donations. We'll collect the donations. And then if they want to get further involved and actually be part of a team, just send me an email. My phone number's on there. Give me a call and say, hey, I want to help out, and we'll try to get you on a team.
So, Frank, have you participated in this before? And what's your thoughts?
Yeah, I have. One of my thoughts is the thing that I did by chance the first time I had a family that I was going to provide Christmas to was I asked the mother, after we shopped for the kids, intentionally would wait to the end, and I'd say, okay, now I have some money left. We'd like to get you something.
Oh, that's
Mama.
Neat.
And
yeah.
I've done that every year, and every time parent says no, I want to get another thing for my children.
Sure.
Yeah. That's pretty deep touching when you see the circumstances that many of them are living under. It's really a heartwarming event.
Yeah.
The second thing is that And this is a little bit on the guilty side, because when I leave the family after bringing them Christmas, it's a spiritual high. You realize what you've done for them on the way out afterwards. You realize what you've done for yourself.
For yourself, sure.
Yeah.
And that's another thing with COVID-19. We could have brothers, I'm sure, that are depressed.
Yeah.
They're at home. I think we're adapting to being kind of depressed. That benefit, that advantage of taking action for others is always good to begin with. But here's that's a great story, a specific opportunity here to get yourself
into the mood.
Into the mood and get yourself a spiritual high or get to a happier place maybe than you are right now.
Yeah.
Part of that is realizing how blessed we are.
Isn't that true?
I mean, you see some of these people struggling and breaks your heart, but you feel so blessed, but you feel, again, that spiritual high of being able to be a servant of God and, you know, to help these people.
Like Paul, I remember the families that I've brought Christmas to. One year, the mother, she had three children, and two were autistic.
Oh, wow.
And she worked.
So
it was really a challenge for her. Having a good time and getting excited about the gifts, she was in the corner crying because it was such a big deal to that family.
Wow. Yeah.
So, and we brought a little tree and we put lights on the tree with the children and you know, literally brought them Christmas.
Well, brothers Paul and Frank, thanks again for joining with the podcast. My heart's warmed right now from hearing about this. And this is something I am for sure. You can put my name down. I'm going to get involved in it this year.
Great.
Okay, brothers, until next time. Peace.
Remember your mercies, O Lord. Remember.